Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 7 and read through the end. This is God's Word. Tychicus, our dearly loved brother, faithful servant and fellow slave in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are, and so that he may encourage your hearts. He is with Onesimus, a faithful and dearly loved brother who is one of you. They will tell you about everything here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, as does Mark, Barnabas's cousin, concerning whom you've received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And so does Jesus, who is called Justice. These alone of the circumcision are my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a slave of Christ Jesus, greets you. He is always contending for you in his prayers so that you can stand mature and fully assured in everything God wills. For I testify about him that he works hard for you, for those in Laodicea and for those in Hierapolis. Luke, the dearly loved physician, and Demas greet you. Give my greetings to the brothers in Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her home. When this letter has been read among you, have it read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And tell Archippus, pay attention to the ministry you've received in the Lord, so that you can accomplish it. This greeting is in my own hand. Paul, remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now, this is just a bunch of names and hellos, and I mean, you know, it's kind of a postscript, and I mean, this, do we really need to even have this in the Bible? Oh, yes. First of all, because it reminds us that people are important to God. Jesus died on the cross to save people. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but people sometimes have problems. I mean, none of you, I'm sure. You're all perfectly poised in every particular circumstance. You just walk around about 8 inches off the ground, not really having to deal with bumps and stones and thorns. You don't have problems, and you never make mistakes. Like me, you are perfect. Not so, is it? We have problems, we mess up, and other people have problems, and they mess up. And some people get really down on themselves, but most people get really down on others. Right? And by the way, the people who get down on themselves also tend to get down on others. There's just this disgust. How could they do that? Well, they're human. To err is human. To forgive, divine. But guess what? In this world, we not only have to learn how to deal with other people, we need, in order to do so rightly, to realize that people matter to God. And so all these names represent a life story. These were not all the people who were going to receive this letter, hear this letter. But imagine if you were there in the church when the letter's being read and he mentioned you. Yes, I mean, you asked, so I'm going to tell you, yeah, he was That was me he was talking about. I mean, wouldn't that be cool to have your name in the Bible? Guess what? Thank God we don't have to be famous on this earth in order to be precious in God's sight. God loves you, and God knows your name, and God sees your tears, and God has a plan for your life. And so seeing all these names, now these are not typical of the names that most of us have today. I think some people would probably prefer not to be named Tychicus. I just think that in middle school, that would be torture. Okay. Your name is Tickle Me. No, it's not. It's Tychicus. Stop that. There are a bunch of names in here that are kind of unfamiliar to most of us in our culture. But let me tell you something. Every single one of these folks was precious to God. And you need to know that. Now, there's one of these people, I told you last time, there's one of these people that we're going to focus on today because it illustrates the fact that there is a story behind every name. One of the names that is mentioned here is a fellow by the name of Mark. In verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, as does Mark, Barnabas' cousin, concerning whom you've received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Where does this come from? Why are we looking at Mark? Well, look back in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 and 13. In the church that was at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius the Cyrenian, Manaen, a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them to." Verse 13. Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. John, however, left them and went back to Jerusalem. Well, what happened between verses 1 and 2 and verse 13? And who is this guy, John? John Mark was a young man related to Barnabas, the excellent Bible teacher now in heaven, the late Ray Stedman at Peninsula Bible Church, suggested something I've never heard anybody else suggest, and that is that Mark, John Mark, was the rich young ruler. There's a lot of stuff that is overlooked that kind of would fit with that. He was a young man from a prominent family in Jerusalem, and he's the only one who, when telling the story in the gospel of what happened with Jesus, Mark is the only one who mentions a young man who was there in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested, and when they grabbed him, he ran off naked. Mark mentions that. Why? Well, there's no explanation given, but a number of folks have suggested that it was because he was Mark. That was the young man who ran off with no clothes on because he was wearing only a linen garment, and when they grabbed him by his cloak, he just slipped out of it and ran away wearing nothing. Well, why would Mark tell that story? Ray Stedman suggests it's because he was the young man. Well, that fits. Just as John, at the end of his gospel, having described the disciple whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved, when he gets to the end of the gospel, he says, by the way, that was me. Okay? Well, so what was he doing in the garden wearing nothing but a linen garment? Well, you remember the young man who came from a prominent family, who had enormous wealth, and who had a real sense of self-righteousness, who talked with Jesus about what does he need to do in order to have eternal life. And Jesus says, well, you know the law. He says, oh, I've always kept the law since I was a kid. And Jesus says, okay, there's one thing you lack. Go, sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and then you'll have great reward in heaven, and you come follow me. And the young man went away very sad because of his great wealth. But Ray Stedman suggests, and it is possible, that that's why there was a young man in the garden wearing nothing but a linen garment, because he had given away everything. He did go away sorrowful because he had great wealth, but he may have done what Jesus said, and that's why he was following Jesus, wearing only a linen garment. It's all he had left. Now, don't know, can't prove it, but we do know young John Mark, Barnabas's relative, comes from a prominent family in Jerusalem, and he goes on the road with Saul and Barnabas, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Saul and Barnabas are set apart. Saul of Tarsus, the guy who had persecuted the church. By verse 13, Saul's name has changed to Paul, and John Mark is headed for Jerusalem. Not because he's upset about the name change, but notice something else that happens here. Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. Paul and his companions. Barnabas, John Mark's relative, had been the guy who stood up for Saul, even though he'd been a persecutor of the church, and said, welcome him. He's a changed man and the Lord wants to use him. And the Lord was using him. But Barnabas was the leader, and Saul, for all of his dynamism, was the guy that Barnabas was saying was okay. Barnabas was the insider. He'd been a Christian. Saul had been a persecutor. Between verse 2 and verse 13, God works through Saul of Tarsus, also better known as Paul the Apostle, in such an astounding way that the next time they're mentioned, it's not Barnabas and Saul. Please remember verse 2. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them to. Who's got top billing on the marquee? Okay? It's Barnabas. Barnabas and Saul. By verse 13, it's Paul and his companions. He has become the leader. Now, if you're John Mark, how do you feel about that? Well, he apparently was not real comfortable with whatever had happened. And so he went back to mom. He said, I'm out of here. Okay? He didn't repudiate them. He didn't protest. He just left. He quit on them. He was supposed to be their helper. But at this point, he was no help. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
Mark was a huge disappointment. But Barnabas, who had given Paul another chance after Paul had been a persecutor of the church, Barnabas was ready to give his relative another chance. So in chapter 15, verse 36, after some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in every town where we've preached the message of the Lord and see how they're doing." And Barnabas wanted to take along John Mark. Barnabas says, let's take John Mark. But Paul didn't think it was appropriate to take along this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work. There was such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed off to Cyprus. Then Paul chose Silas and departed after being commended to the grace of the Lord by the brothers. Paul and Barnabas had been a team. They had been committed not only to the Lord, but to one another. And the whole reason Paul didn't want John Mark to go was because he hadn't been committed. He wasn't reliable. And Barnabas was determined to give him another chance. And Paul said, "No way. We're not taking that guy." And Barnabas said, "Who put you in charge?" And they split up. They had such a sharp disagreement that they split up. How could that happen among Christians? Well, I think maybe one of them wasn't really saved. No, they were both really saved. They were both guys who knew what it was to be filled with the Spirit and to do the will of God, and God had used them tremendously, and they put their lives on the line. But now they have such a sharp disagreement over one decision, and that is whether or not to include this person in the work. They have such a sharp disagreement that they can't work together. And Barnabas goes off with John Mark, and Paul, commended by the church, goes off with Silas. Does that mean Barnabas wasn't commended by the church? Not necessarily, but it wants to make it very clear that Paul was, even though he said, "No, we're not taking your relative." Some of us are more inclined to give our relatives grace than we are other people, aren't we? You know, you see that person acting that way and you say, "Well, they're just nuts." And you see that person acting that way and you say, "Wow, that's evil." And you see your relative acting that way and you say, "Yeah, they've always been kind of eccentric." So, that's it. Paul is never going to give John Mark another chance. Oh, yes, he did. Philemon, verse 24. 2 Timothy 4:11. And right here in Colossians, chapter 4. Mark is back with Paul. And Paul is commending him as somebody you can count on. Somebody who's been helpful, someone who means a lot to him. So that was it. Basically, Mark gets back with Paul. Well, that's not all. Mark also became like a son to the Apostle Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. Mark wrote one of the Gospels, apparently based in part off of what he learned from the Apostle Peter, who was there from the start of Jesus' ministry. Mark, John Mark, was greatly used of God. So two more points about this fellow. Number one, we don't know if he was the rich young ruler or not. That's an interesting maybe. What we do know is this: Mark blew it on his first missions outing. The first time he went out as a missionary, he blew it. Messing up, especially when you're young, does not have to be the end of your story. Now, that's not a reason to go out and mess up. It is a reason not to give up. If you make a mistake, like Mark did, If you say you'll do something and then you fail to get it done, that doesn't have to be the end of your story and what they put on your tombstone. John Mark messed up so badly that Paul didn't want to work with him anymore and felt so strongly about it that he wouldn't back down when Barnabas is saying, come on, man, you of all people ought to believe in giving a second chance. You used to kill Christians for being Christians. And I stood up for you. Now I'm standing up for Mark. He's a young man. He messed up, but let's give him another chance. And Paul says, no. Don't you just hate people like that? Well, don't be people like that. But if you are people like that, you might turn out like the Apostle Paul. Well, I thought the Apostle Paul was a good guy. He was a great guy. But he wasn't a perfect guy. Well, I'd say that clearly he was right. No, not really. Not necessarily. Because he was saying Mark is of no use. And later, he's saying he's a great help to me. He changed his mind. Wow. Well, I'm surprised. It happens. Please understand that if you are like Mark, there is hope for you. You can have another chapter and another chapter and another chapter.
So are you saying, Pastor, because I know this is sometimes a controversy that happens in our churches, are you saying that like if a preacher is involved in an adulterous affair or financial scandal or something like that, that after a little apology and all, he ought to be able to be reinstalled as pastor? No, I'm not saying that at all. If you read the list of qualifications for an elder, it's very clear that you can be disqualified from that role. But that doesn't mean you can't have fellowship in the church and that you can't be used in other ways.
Okay, so you're saying that there are some things you just can't get forgiven for.
No, I'm saying that forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. We're to forgive people whether we can trust them or not. Trust is earned. Forgiveness is always only based on grace. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. Now, if you're like Mark, there's still hope for you. But if you're like Paul, there's hope for you too. You can change your mind. You can realize that maybe you were premature in your judgment of that person. Maybe you were too harsh in the way you dealt with someone. You can give someone a chance that you thought you'd never give another chance. And obviously that happened with the Apostle Paul in his relationship with Mark. And folks, that's just one of the people in this list of names. Every one of them has a story. Every one of them. Onesimus, verse 9 of Colossians 4. Oh, what a story that is. Every one has a story. And you do too. And God knows your story, and God is able to meet you at your deepest need. He cares about you. Trust Him. Surrender your life to Him. He can make something beautiful out of you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.